This sermon is available for free download from www.graceunlimited.co.za. That's www.graceunlimited.co.za. There you will also find many other sermons, the speakers' blogs, events, pictures, links, web store, e-documents, and contact details. Simply follow the links to Grace Unlimited on Sermon Audio.
At the end of the first valley was another valley called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. It was necessary for Christian to pass through it because it was the only way to the celestial city. This valley is a very solitary place. The prophet Jeremiah describes it as a land, as a wilderness, a land of deserts and pits, a land of drought and of the shadow of death, a land that no one except a Christian is able to pass through, and where no one lives. Here, as you will see, Christian's testings were even more severe than those he had encountered with Apollyon. I saw in my dream that when Christian reached the borders of the shadow of death, two men met him. They were descendants of the spies who had brought back an evil report of the good land, and they were in a hurry to go back. "Where are you going?" Christian asked. They answered, "Back, back, and we urge you to follow us if you prize either life or peace." "Why? What's the matter?" "Matter? We were going along the same way you are going and went as far as we dared, almost past the point of no return. If we had gone just a little further, we would have not made it back here to bring the news to you." "But what have you met with?" "Why, we were almost in the valley of the shadow of death, but just by chance we looked ahead of us and could see the danger before we came to it." "But what did you see?" "What did we see? Why, the valley itself, which is pitch black. We could see hobgoblins, satyrs, and dragons of the pit. We could also hear in that valley continual howling and screaming. It sounded like people in indescribable misery who were bound in affliction and chains. We also saw the depressing clouds of confusion hanging over the valley, and death with wings spread was hovering over it all. It is absolutely dreadful and in complete chaos." "From what you've said," Christian replied, I'm still not convinced that this isn't the way to my destination." "Have it your way," they said, "but we won't choose it for ourselves." So they left, and Christian went on his way with his sword still drawn for fear that he might be assaulted. I then saw in my dream that there was a very deep ditch along the right side of the valley as far as it reached. It is into that ditch that the blind have led the blind throughout the ages, and there both have miserably died. I could also see that on the left side was a very dangerous quagmire. Even a good person, should he fall in, will find no bottom for his foot to stand on. King David once fell in here, and no doubt would have suffocated had not he who is able mercifully plucked him out. The pathway was so narrow that Christian had to be very careful when he tried in the darkness to avoid the ditch on the one hand. He almost fell into the quagmire on the other. However, when he tried to escape the quagmire, unless he used great caution, he nearly fell into the ditch. He went on this way, and I heard him sigh bitterly. For in addition to the dangers already mentioned, the pathway was so dark that often when he picked up his foot to go forward, he had no idea where he should step next. The mouth of hell was beside the way, about midway through the valley. Poor man, where are you now? Your day is now night. Good man, don't be downhearted. You are still right. Your way to heaven lies by the gates of hell. Cheer up. Hold on. With you, it shall go well. So much fire and smoke continually came out, with swarms of sparks and hideous noises, things that gave no heed to Christian's sword, as did Apollyon, that he was forced to put his sword away and use another weapon called all prayer. So I heard him cry out, O Lord, save me! He continued praying like this for quite a while, but the flames kept reaching out toward him, and he heard sorrowful voices and rushing sounds around him. Sometimes he thought he would be torn to pieces or trampled down like dirt in the street. There are three things I would like to bring to you specifically this evening, three major points, three major lessons that we learn in this experience where Christian goes into the valley of the shadow of death. And the first he brings to us is this, that every Christian will face the valley of the shadow of death. And you'll notice that when we were speaking about Christian facing Apollyon, he was in the valley of humiliation. Remember, he was going down into the valley of humiliation. And as a new believer, coming out with his shiny armor, and possibly feeling a little bit proud of himself and maybe overconfident, remember, he had to go down into the valley of humiliation, and he slipped and tumbled a bit as he went down and down and down, because remember, as those ladies told him, it is difficult for a man to go down into the valley of humiliation. So here's Christian, he's just coming out of the valley of humiliation, and now he's entering the valley of the shadow of death. And it is a valley that he has to pass through. Why is it that it is a valley that he has to pass through? Because the celestial city stands on the other side. It was the only way in which he could go. Remember what Paul said to the believers when he was encouraging them in Derbe, Lystra and Iconium, when he said, I'll just read what Luke wrote here. They preached the good news. This is Acts 14 verse 21 and 22. They preached the good news in that city, which was Derbe, and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Now take note of those words. Paul was strengthening the disciples and encouraging the disciples. Now what do you expect to hear Paul saying when he's strengthening and encouraging them? Well, possibly not what he actually said. He said, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. He's strengthening them and he's encouraging them and he's saying, you will go through many hardships on your way to the kingdom of God. And surely this is what Bunyan has in his mind as he's putting Christian in front of this terrible hardship, and he must go through that difficulty in order to come to the kingdom of God, in order to come to the celestial city. It is an encouragement by way of warning. It is a statement of love to warn believers that they will come across situations in life where they will suffer and their faith will be tested to see whether it is a genuine faith. You will notice something else about this valley. It is a valley that is a solitary place. It is a place where people go through difficulty in loneliness, where people go through a struggle, and it is a personal wrestle with their own personal faith, where they come to grips with whether this faith is really a substance that is able to carry them through this difficulty. What kind of difficulties does Scripture have in mind? What kind of difficulties do you and I have in mind as we consider the valley of the shadow of death? What kind of struggles? And of course, when you look at the New Testament, you find that some of the major struggles were the struggles of believers clinging to the Christian faith and facing persecution, even losing their lives on account of the fact that they held tight to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are other difficulties. There are other traumas in life, hard life situations that you and I have faced and will face in the future that test the strength, test the reality, the genuineness of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Difficulties are things like this. People who lose their monthly income, lose a financial income, and you struggle and you don't know what to do, and it's difficult to find more work. People who experience huge financial setbacks. I think of this guy my dad told me about recently on the news, who, in this big global economic crash, who lost $750 million of his personal estate. And when he saw that huge tragedy unfolding before him, $750 million, he just took his own life. He couldn't make it through that valley of the shadow of death. He was unable. He did not have a faith in God that was able to carry him through that hardship. He couldn't put that difficulty in the framework of future reward or future punishment. There are other things like a failed marriage, the trauma of getting married and living year after year with somebody with whom you are totally unhappy, and that marriage eventually turns sour and crumbles and breaks and ends in terrible divorce. There are other terrible traumas that people face, personal injury. Think of the huge shock of being a healthy person who suddenly has a massive life change by being disabled. I think of failure in health. Think of a person sitting in front of a medical doctor who suddenly hears that they have terminal cancer. Think of people who begin to experience heart failure and they can't walk and move as they used to, and they know that they're going to die. Think of people who develop Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. Think of people who face the death of loved ones, people close to them. Think of the trauma of people who die as a result of criminal activity, and people who are attacked by criminal in our day. I saw on the news today of a man who stopped his car on the side of the road because there was something wrong with it. He slid underneath the car to see what was wrong under his car, and his friend in the car was shot by a criminal. Think of the trauma that is happening in our world today, and I don't have to explain these things. I think of the devastation of people who commit suicide and families that are left to deal with the tangle that is left, that terrible emotional tangle after somebody has taken their own life. Situation after situation after situation in this world, every individual faces the valley of the shadow of death, and every believer must go through these terrible difficulties, these terrible valleys of the shadow of death, in order to come out at the celestial city. And the great and wonderful thing is, as I've seen, as Paul was encouraging the believers in Derbe and those other towns that surrounded it, he said, he strengthened them and encouraged them by saying, we must go through many difficulties in order to enter the kingdom of God. A believer, a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, will face those difficulties, and he will go through. He will face them. And it will be obvious by the end of that trial that God had done such a work in that person's heart and in that person's life that he is able to deal with every difficulty that God brings upon his path. This is the encouragement for the true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a warning for every person who does not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. These things will shatter you. These things will tear you apart. You will not be able to come through these valleys of the shadow of death without falling into the two major temptations that we will see as I close this evening. There are two major things into which a person who does not have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will fall into, one on each side of that pathway. So you will face, and you have faced in the past, many of these shadows of death. But Bunyan is speaking, and remember Bunyan sitting in a prison cell, 12 and a half years of his life sitting there in a terrible prison. He knows what it's like to go through the valley of the shadow of death. He knows what it's like to face imminent death, the possibility of being slaughtered, of being put to death at any moment for preaching the word of God. You will face, and you have faced, the valley of the shadow of death. Remember Psalm 23. How can you not hear the valley of the shadow of death without thinking of Psalm 23? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And of course, as you stand before the valley of the shadow of death, one of the things, one of the reactions is that sense of fear. And now, I want to just bring this out a little bit from the reaction of these people that we see running away from the valley of the shadow of death. Secondly, you may run away from the valley of the shadow of death, but you run away from the valley of the shadow of death to your own destruction. You run away from the celestial city. You're running away from the only path that can take you to eternal glory. We see these people running away from the valley of the shadow of death. And Bunyan picturesquely says that these are men who were descendants of the spies who went into the promised land. You remember in Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses recounts the story to the new generation of how the Lord sent spies into the promised land, and they brought back some of the first fruits, and they brought back a good report of the land, but they said, but we can't go in there. The force is insurmountable. That's like the valley of the shadow of death. There's giants there, and we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. We go in there, they'll smash us. No, we can't go in there. We've got to go another way. We've got to go somewhere else. We can't go that way. And here these people are, these men running from the valley of the shadow of death, and they're trying to warn Christian, don't go in there, it's dangerous. But Christian knows that that is the only way to the celestial city. This is the only way in which he can realize the glory that is lying before him in the kingdom of God. Now these people, they describe something of this valley of the shadow of death. They are saying that this is a place that threatens life and peace. You know, you notice instantly the agenda of these people as they're running away. What does their life consist of? Firstly, I must cling to physical life. For a believer, life is expendable in the line of duty. For a believer, to live or die in the line of duty is irrelevant. What matters is whether you are faithful in discharging the trust God has given you in this world. If I die preaching the word of God, as Paul said, my life means nothing to me as long as I've done what God has called me to do in this world. Life for a believer is expendable. It's disposable. And these people were saying, no, it doesn't matter what I have to do, I will cling to my life. I will cling to my own safety. And then they say that it will threaten their peace. It will threaten their sense of well-being. It will threaten their convenience in this world. Life will be less pleasant for us if we go through this experience. If we can avoid the pain of going through here, we will avoid the pain of going through this difficult experience. So you can see what their agenda is. They will cling to their life regardless of what the cost is. And they will cling to their own convenience and their own comfort, regardless of what they have to do, even if they have to turn away from the path that leads to the celestial city, the only path. Secondly, they complain about the fact that this valley of the shadow of death is black and they couldn't see. They're complaining about the fact that if they can't reason out their next step, they're not going to go. They won't trust God. They won't walk by faith. They have to walk by sight. This is at the bottom of what they're complaining about. They have to be able to reason it. They don't have the word of God. And remember, Psalm 119, 130 says that the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And these people don't have the word of God to shed light in the situation. All they see is blackness, and they're not willing to trust God in that difficult time. Then they shout about the fact that there was a continual howling and screaming like that of people in indescribable misery, bound in affliction and chains. And I think of what it's like in this world. You think of a person who wants to become a missionary. I think of Josh Mack, who came to our country from America, from the comforts of America, to come and be a missionary in Africa. And the people were warning him and saying, but it's not safe, you shouldn't come here. Even well-wishing Christians were warning him and urging him not to come to South Africa because it's so dangerous in South Africa. He might die. Something terrible might happen to him. And you know, there's always a hum of people who are speaking negatively against things that believers want to do, stepping out in faith and going forward and facing anything that comes their way in order to bring glory and honor to God in this world. There are always people who are complaining and say, no, you can't do it. This is going to be uncomfortable. That's going to be hard. Are you sure you're going to make it? Like these people who told Josh, are you sure you want to go there? You can be used much more powerfully here where it's safer and you get more money. You can be more effective. And he said, no. I believe that the Lord has called me to this work and I'm going to go in spite of the danger. Imagine there were no Christians who were willing to face danger in order to spread the gospel. The gospel would never have gone anywhere in the world. It would have stayed in the little hives of activity where the gospel first began. And then we notice that these people complain about the depressing clouds of confusion that were hanging over this valley of the shadow of death. And as we will speak about it next time, when you and I hit difficulties in life, one of the things that naturally comes about is a sense of confusion. And suddenly you begin to wonder how to make sense of this difficulty that you are going through. And it becomes a little bit difficult to see where this difficulty fits into your theological framework. How does this relate to my faith? How does this relate to the Christian walk? How does this relate to how I should experience the Christian life? Should I be joyful in this? Should I be questioning God? Should I be angry with God? And I don't advocate those things at all. And I'm not going to even comment on that because I might get involved in that too much. Then they complain about the fact that there's death in that place. And then they complain that overall it's a place of dreadfulness and chaos. It's a terrible place to be. This is what these people are saying. And they want to avoid any strain upon their lives that they can possibly avoid. They don't want any discomfort or inconvenience, and they will do anything they have to do, even disobey God, even turn away from the celestial city in order to maintain their quality of life and their peace and convenience. Remember what the Lord Jesus said. In Luke chapter 9 verse 62, he said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Obviously, the person who puts his hand to the plow and keeps going forward is the person who's fit for service in the kingdom of God. And you will notice one of the things that they said about this, you know, as they were analyzing the situation, was that they were complaining about the dangers and the discomforts that Christian would face. And you will notice, and this is my third point, is that when Christian confronted these people, he said to them, I can hear all of the things that you're saying, that really it is going to be a bad experience, but you've said nothing to convince me that is still not the way to the celestial city. The experience doesn't change the direction. I know it's going to be difficult, and there's no way I can go around it. I have to go through it, so the experience is something I'm going to have to endure. In order to be faithful in the charge that God has given me, I have to go forward through this difficult experience. So he acknowledges this fearful prospect, but he doesn't see how it's going to make any difference to his journey because he's going that way. God will get him through. He has a faith in God. He's faced Apollyon, remember, and he has survived. And he's going to move forward and trust that God is going to enable him to see the other end of this valley of the shadow of death. So these people flee, and Christian proceeds into the valley. And you notice that he has his sword in his hand because he's conscious of the fact that he may be attacked at any moment. And you will notice that as he steps into the valley of the shadow of death, you notice how he's speaking. He's standing firm, he's thinking reasonably, and he has a calm resolve. He has his head screwed onto his shoulders tightly. He's not going to lose his head as he goes into this valley. He can see the fearfulness, and he can reason it out. He understands what this is going to mean to him, and he steps into that valley reasonably. And this evening, I've called this message, Fear Plays with Your Mind. Because here we see Christian, with all of his faculties about him, stepping into this valley that is calculated to make him fall into a state of fear. And as he walks, you will see he begins to become fearful, and he begins to question things in his mind, and he begins to consider the practicalities of the dangers that face him. And his mind begins to turn and spin, and he begins to get confused, and he struggles to understand how this trial fits into his whole theological framework, as you and I do. Fear plays with your mind. And we're going to look at the second half of Fear Plays with Your Mind next time. We're going to look at some of the closer details that Christian experiences. So notice, he goes in with firm resolve and with his reason about him. Now, as Bunyan describes this valley, you will remember he described a trench, a deep ditch on the right-hand side that was as long as the valley was long. It was a deep ditch that as he looked down into it, he knew that that was the place into which the blind lead the blind. And of course, if I use that phrase, and if Bunyan uses that phrase, the ditch into which the blind lead the blind, you will immediately think of the words of the Lord Jesus where he spoke of the blind leading the blind. Who is the Lord Jesus speaking about? In Matthew 15 verse 12, the Lord Jesus says, Matthew is speaking, and he says this, "Then the disciples came to him and asked, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?'" Something the Lord Jesus was saying. He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots." Now listen what the Lord says. He says, "Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Who is he saying is blind? He's saying that the Pharisees are blind. And it is the blind Pharisees who are leading ignorant people who are trying to be religious into a pit. So the picture in John Bunyan's mind is religious people leading people who want to be religious, or people who are searching for spiritual realities, into this pit. And John Bunyan is saying that people fall into this hole, and once they've fallen into this hole, they can never escape. And he can hear the people at the bottom of that pit who have fallen down to the ground, and some of them are still alive, and they're busy crying out in anguish, and they're trapped in a religious system from which they cannot escape. It's a religious system. It is not true Christianity. It is not the real working of the Holy Spirit in the heart of man that regenerates and transforms so that person becomes a new person and who can walk on the path sustained by faith. He's a person who's just doing things that religious people do, and he's trapped in misery and he has no power to escape. What he needs is the work of the Holy Spirit in his heart to regenerate him and change him and to bring him out of that misery. And Bunyan is saying that the people who fall into that dead religion, most of them, they fall so hard that they terminally injured and they die down there and they never see the light of life. They never know what it is to have a personal living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that carries them through to the celestial city. So that's one of the temptations. As you and I enter into the valley of the shadow of death, the first major temptation that Bunyan puts before us is to fall into formal religion rather than clinging to a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of these people who just ran away. Let's say they went into the valley of the shadow of death. They could have fallen either into that pit, into dead religion, and they could have died there, or they could have fallen on the other side, and we're going to look at that in a moment. Dead religion is something that is difficult to maintain while you undergo extreme hardship in this world. And you know, as well as I know, when you begin to face difficulties, there are times when it is difficult for you to maintain spiritual momentum, to continue to get out of bed even while it's still dark, to feed on the word and to pray and to be found in God's presence seeking his face, becoming a person who loves to spend time in the presence of God. How difficult it is to maintain that communion with the Lord when you rushed, and things are getting difficult and life is getting tight and you have to move from place to place, and suddenly that communion, that living relationship with the Lord Jesus is thrown out and you find yourself in that dead religion. So Bunyan is warning us, be careful. That is the ditch on the right hand side of the road. You likely, when you hit difficulty, when you see the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, to fall into cold, dead religion rather than walking on the path and going toward the celestial city. The second thing he points out is the quagmire on the left, the bog, the swamp into which people can fall. And you will notice he describes this pathway as so narrow that when he stepped onto the pathway, he had to struggle to keep his balance between falling down into the ditch or falling into the mud. And of course, when Bunyan describes what this quagmire, this bog was, he describes King David falling into it. And this is the other danger when you face difficulties, that you are likely, if you don't fall into dead, cold religion, you're likely to fall into sin. I think of, let's just take a simple example that many of us may be familiar with. Let's say you have a very hard day and you have worked hard on a project and you're rejected or you're slighted or somebody's rude to you and you just have no success in that day. You go home and suddenly you experience a state of the blues and you start eating something and you find yourself eating just so you can be comforted. Or you find yourself sitting in front of the TV and watching something that you know you shouldn't watch, but it doesn't matter because you just had enough. You know, you're just not, you don't feel like struggling. This is something that you're just going to do because you've fallen into a state of sin. You face the difficulty and now you find yourself indulging in some kind of sin. Now there are plenty examples like that we could just, you know, go through your own mind. As I go through my own mind, you can think of many examples of when you face difficulty and you fall into sin. Somebody speaks to you, you find yourself becoming proud, and this person won't speak to me in this way. We fall into sin as soon as we face difficulties. So Bunyan is describing what happened to King David. And obviously in King David's case, he wasn't experiencing difficulty. He wasn't experiencing the huge pressure of enemies mounting up around him. He was in a state of ease. Remember, it says there that he got up from his bed in the afternoon, in the evening. What was David doing getting up from his bed in the afternoon? What was he doing lying around, sleeping and taking it easy while the army was off in the battle, that he was lying around in the afternoon? What was he doing? And then he walks around on the roof when he knows that the people are bathing around him, and he sees that lady, and you remember the story and how it happened. And David fell into that sin, you remember, and he was in a state of ease, and he fell into that. What I'm saying, and I think what Bunyan is saying, that the temptation, the valley of the shadow of death, can come either when you're under great pressure or when you experience great ease, when life becomes so comfortable that you easily slip into sin, that you're no longer watchful. You're living as if it's peacetime, not as if you are living in a war. So Bunyan is warning us of these two things, and I think it's so practical for you and I, as we face difficulty, the valley of the shadow of death, to look for these things in our lives. Am I continuing in personal communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, putting this difficulty in the framework of knowing that the celestial city lies beyond this? I will get through this. I will excel because I am a child of God. And I will face the difficult experiences of this situation without falling into dead religion and without indulging myself in sin. And the final thing that I want to comment on tonight is that Bunyan says that the mouth of hell was in the middle of this valley, in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death, and it's belching out fire and smoke and sparks and hideous noises, and it is ready to consume the faithless who die in that valley. We think of those people who fall off the path into dead religion or into sin. Not true believers. Remember, King David fell into that mud, but God, who is merciful, rescued him from that mud and put him back onto the path. Believers do make it through. There's no believer, no true believer, who will fall off that path as he goes through that valley of the shadow of death. But unbelievers who try to make it through fall into dead religion, they fall into sin, and they are drawn into the very mouth of hell. Paul continues in Philippians 1 verse 3 to 6, he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. True believers will make it through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death is a place where Christians are tempted to fear. Remember Psalm 23 verse 4? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The valley of the shadow of death is a place that is calculated to make you fear, and the valley of the shadow of death is calculated to make you sin by falling into dead religion or by falling into self-indulgence in sin on one side. Steer clear of those things. And it is encouraging because true faith is strong enough to carry the true believer through. Next time, we will consider how Christian escaped, and how you and I will escape these evils in the valley of the shadow of death.